There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Welcome to The Grill, live with you from 3 to 6 this sunny afternoon. There is no better place to be than Dubai when the sun is shining like this. An absolutely beautiful evening to look forward to. And where better to enjoy it than in front of the big screen down here at Barasti. What a week of sport we've had since we last spoke. And what a weekend in store to continue the theme. Talking of continuing themes, you could be forgiven for something of a state of deja vu, because up next, in just a few moments' time, it's Man City against Spurs. Two teams, well, I think they've got a good look of each other in recent days. It's live from the Etihad from 4:30. Four games off at 6 o'clock. Our feature will be West Ham United. Bit of mid-table mediocrity going on there. We'll discuss that a little later on. And then it's 15th place, 16th. Newcastle against Southampton. Looking forward to this one. 8:30 p.m. this evening. A crucial game for the hopes of both of those two teams in action. In the meantime, though, we've got a live over in Scotland that's kicked off already. Hearts against Rangers. Rangers in second position, looking to consolidate their position and continue the good form they've had throughout the season. Spain, we've got Celtic Vigo against Girona. That's also just got underway. And an early over in Italy as well. Parma against AC Milan. So in terms of football, you are well catered for. It ain't just about the football, though. We've got action from the Indian Premier League, where Rajasthan take on Mumbai. That's second bottom against second in the table as it stands. We'll also have the semi-finals in the European Cups, both the Challenge and the Champions. Saris against Munster is off at 6 o'clock. We'll have build-up ahead of that one. In the meantime, though, there is Super Rugby to keep you up to date with in just a little while. Golf European Tour, we'll have action from there. And, of course, US PGA, the RBC Heritage underway with some of the big guns that were in action at the Masters this time last week, which I promise you will be discussed a little further right here on the show. And lest we forget, there are the NBA playoffs to talk about and the small matter of a massive fight down at Madison Square Garden. Khan against Crawford is all set up to be another classic. So, sport is on the table for you. We've got plenty to discuss. We have taken up our position, thankfully not huddled under one of the umbrellas down here at Barasti, as we were this time last week with the grill, as it was pouring with rain. The difference a week makes in the weather conditions down here in Dubai. Absolutely glorious afternoon and a lot to look forward to. So please, please, please do come down to Barasti and be part of all the developments and, of course, proceedings down here. The beach is absolutely packed at the moment. The pool is heaving. There's a DJ down there and we are just gearing up for sport on the big screen. Man City against Tottenham. What more could you ask for on a Saturday Easter weekend?
Oh, it's a fabulous goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Who's here to talk us through all things sport? Well, we've got Monty. He's back with us as well. We'll be throwing in his penis worth, his dinars worth, his pesetas worth, as he takes a closer look at all things football, cricket, and of course a big focus on European football. And what a week we've had. What a 7 days.
What an epic week, Tom. Good afternoon, Tom, Chris and Carl. April, just note down for all sporting fans, it is an epic month in terms of what we expect, what we saw in golf and in terms of the Champions League. So what an epic night that day we saw. I'm not sure where we would put this game down in one of the top epics of the Champions League, but for me, definitely the top five.
We will look at more detail in that one. That man over there is CVR. He's getting very excited, not so much about Man City against Spurs, although he loves his football, he loves his sport. He has sport coursing through his veins, this man. But he is getting very excited about the prospect of some Champions Cup rugby as well. Semi-finals. Got to love a semi.
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. And what a story it's been for Saracens. Of course, their fifth semi-final this afternoon. And as you say, quite impressive how well the Irish teams have done in this competition. As we said, that this afternoon, Saracens will take on Munster. And what a week of sport it's been. Champions League, the Masters, and many, many more. And this weekend, once again, will give us some fantastic rugby results as well as Super Rugby.
We are obviously on something of... we're chasing down records. I do hope that the Guinness World Record team are listening at the moment, because how many times can we say, what a week of sport it's been here on the show? I think all three of us have mentioned it so far. So Chris McCarty, our head of sport, over to you.
What a week of sport it's been, Tom. It's been unbelievable.
But it has been, isn't it?
It's been remarkable. I mean, I am a Manchester United fan, and that's probably the only downer there has been this week. A 3-0 defeat to Barcelona over at the Camp Nou. Thoroughly deserved for Barcelona, you've got to say. But putting my journalistic hat on, it has been unbelievable. It has been an incredible week. Tiger Woods, I'm sure we'll discuss him and what he has done to reinvigorate a game of golf, the sport of golf. It was interesting to hear Dustin Johnson. One of the things that has really resonated and has stayed with me from that incredible 83rd Masters Championship is the fact that Dustin Johnson afterwards said, you know, I've come to realise that, you know, Dustin Johnson, a man who's won a major, is a former world number one, and I'm sure will get back to the top of men's golf, no doubt about that. He said, you know what? A cheer for me is very different for a cheer for Tiger Woods. And that just crystallised just what Tiger Woods is as a transcendent, I guess, character. He transcends the sport of golf. He transcends sport, let's be frank. So, yeah, we'll look back on that. Today, though, huge day of action. You've already alluded to it. It is a case of deja vu. It is Manchester City taking on Tottenham, Etihad Stadium. That was the scene the other night of one of the most incredible football matches I have ever seen. 4 goals in 12 minutes, 5 goals in 21 minutes, 7 goals in total. A VAR controversy. Fernando Llorente, is it handball? Is it not? And then we see a 93rd minute goal from Raheem Sterling. That would have been his hat-trick. 78 seconds later, euphoria turns to heartache for Manchester City. So much to discuss from that match, and I cannot wait. There is a reason that I rotated myself on today, Tom, and that's because early kickoff, City Spurs, no better place to be than on the grill watching it on the big screen.
The reason we're getting so excited about this, I mean, you've got to have had your head in the sand if you hadn't been touched by the actions and the reactions and the extraordinary drama of midweek. It was, of course, the quarterfinals of the UEFA Champions League, and it threw up some extraordinary matches. We'll talk Ajax and their extraordinary progress throughout the tournament in just a few moments' time. But as Chris was just mentioning there, few games, I think, have had just about everything, bar a red card, thankfully, for the two teams. This is a game that had just about anything, as you will hear now, as we relive some of the memories and some of the thoughts of the commentators, the pundits, and all those involved in Man City against Spurs at the end of the game.
And he blows the full-time whistle. Well, Tottenham Hotspur have done it. It's one of their great nights. The underdogs have come to Manchester and got the job done. After a Champions League classic that's had absolutely everything. It's had goals, it's had incidents, it's had VAR, it's had controversy. And it's Tottenham Hotspur who go to the last four of the Champions League. Their players can celebrate. But the looks on the faces of the Manchester City players tell you absolutely everything. Sergio Aguero can't believe it, but then again, nor can Mauricio Pochettino. And you've got to give a ton of credit to the Manchester City supporters who have been great throughout tonight, and they are standing and applauding inside the Etihad. Jermaine Ginas, I've never seen a 90 minutes of football quite like that.
It was unbelievable. That's the biggest night of Maurizio's managerial career, not only as a whole, but for Tottenham. You can see the emotion of, obviously, the Tottenham players, but what a game. I mean, the euphoria in the stadium when Sterling hits that, what we thought was a winner, you know, to what it is now. Fair play to these Manchester City fans. They're applauding the players. They know they left absolutely everything out there for the club tonight. But Tottenham, you've got to give them credit as well. They were brilliant.
Tottenham Hotspur supporters will celebrate long into the night. Fernando Llorente got what turned out to be the winning goal. Raheem Sterling thought that he'd scored the winning goal. Fernandinho among those Manchester City players who troop off the pitch at the Etihad, absolutely devastated. Tottenham Hotspur get the VAR break. VAR denies Manchester City a late winner, and Pochettino and his team are on the way to the semi-finals. It's finished. Manchester City 4, Tottenham Hotspur 3, 4-4 on aggregate, and Tottenham through to the last four on away goals. What a night.
Goodness me, in your life have you ever seen a game of football quite like that? It had everything. Two spectacular performances from both sides, some incredible drama, some twists and some turns, some brilliant performances, and ultimately Tottenham going through on the away goals rule, having for a few seconds at least thought that their night would end in tears. But it ends in tears of joy for those Tottenham supporters. and Glenn Hoddle, who's alongside us. Boy, Glenn, that was a test.
Unbelievable game of football. It really has, and great character from Tottenham, great character from City as well. Yeah. Got to say, even at the end there, after the VAR, you're thinking they're going to score again. Amazing team. But, you know, credit to Tottenham. Over the two legs, I think they've deserved it. I really do. I think the first leg, we've got to go back to that as well. But you need a bit of good fortune. But VAR has won the day here, I think, with the two decisions.
Right, I think clear. The offside is offside. That's quite...
Even but a fantastic night for the club, and these fans and the players. Now, it's the furthest the club's been in their history.
Yep, first time ever in the Champions League semi-final.
Well, even in the old European Cup as well.
Of course, absolutely. And you can understand the joy of the players. Llorente came on and scored that all-important goal, which looked like it came off his hip. Look at Pochettino celebrating in front of the fans like that. I don't think we've ever seen that before with Tottenham. Could this conceivably be Tottenham's Champions League? Who could ever have thought that possible? But they're close. They've got Ajax in the semi-final. Terrific young side. But the possibility is there, Bria.
They're in it to win it. Simple as that. I think you've got to be in it to win it. They've made their own luck. Listen, you do need elements of luck if you're going to progress in a tournament like this. But the way they played, the character they showed today, the desire... listen, there were mistakes made with goals, etc. But when you get through here, that's all forgotten. You're just into the next round and that's all you care about. And both teams have to be credited here because the way that the City punched back, went ahead, they looked like they were cruising at one point and then the game just swung again. And this VAR, like, my heart rate ain't been like this since I retired. It's unbelievable the way it takes you
up. It's Glenn
I've
been worried about all night.
Talking about heart rates, Rio.
I think we know you're OK, Glenn, having to survive that 45 minutes. I know you've got a bit emotional here, but it's beautiful for Tottenham fans and ex-players to see. For Joleon, of course, it was... I mean, you were cheering, you were screaming, you were in tears. It was. It had everything, this game, but ultimately for City, massive, massive blow.
Yeah, definitely disappointed not to go through. Deflated personally. Obviously thinking they were going to go through that late goal from Raheem. I thought he'd done it. And for him personally, I thought it would be a great occasion for him to get a hat-trick and see the team through to the semi-finals. But again, as Rio and Glenn touched, great credit to both sides. They both went after it. And unfortunately, it wasn't good enough for City.
Look at this, a raw emotion from Mauricio Pochettino.
Extraordinary scenes there at the Etihad. Sorry, extraordinary scenes, well, at the Etihad midweek. Extraordinary scenes up in Scotland. Let's just break away because there's been the first goal of the afternoon. Chris McCarty.
There certainly has. Just watching a replay of this one. It's Hearts against Rangers at Tynecastle. I've got a funny feeling. We'll wait for this. I think, though, that it's Jermaine Defoe. It is 36 years young, Jermaine Defoe. One thing that you cannot buy, that age does not... Well, you don't lose it the older you get, is an ability to finish. And that man... He has been an arch poacher for years, as Jermaine Defoe. He's sent scampering clear. He shows the keeper the eyes. He opens the body up. He's aiming for the far corner. He's having none of it. He just bends it in. Near post as Jermaine Defoe. 15 minutes on the clock at Tynecastle. Jermaine Defoe's seventh goal in the colours of Rangers. It's Hearts 0. Rangers 1.
Back to the Champions League drama that unveiled last week, throughout the week, with that Man City Spurs game. Chris McCarty listening on to the comments of a number of football luminaries there. Poor old Glenn Hoddle, he's just come back from a heart attack. He's picking his games at the moment, isn't he?
I would have been worried for him. And I'm sure Gary and Rio and Joleon and the rest of the team, and I mean this seriously, would have been keeping a close eye on Glenn, because the full gamut of emotions for both Spurs fans and Man City fans. I mean, the game was bonkers, Tom. That's the only best way to describe it. City go ahead. Tottenham are 2-1 up inside 9 minutes. It's then 2-2 after 11. I mean, the game back and forth, back and forth. City had the opportunity. They're 4-2 up. It was from their point of view, terrible goal to lose. It's a corner. Fernando Llorente gets ahead of his marker. It's scrappy. It's not a nice goal. Spurs don't care a jot. And then, as I say, 93 minutes on the clock. For that to have happened the way and the manner that it did, Christian Eriksen caught in possession. The ball is then, it falls its way to Raheem Sterling. He scores. And for 78 seconds, over a minute, Pep Guardiola, the rest of the coaching staff, the whole of the stadium is erupting. They have done it. They have reached the promised land of a semi-final of the UEFA Champions League. And then it comes up. We're looking at the VAR. Sure enough, a yard offside was Sergio Aguero, the right decision, and it's the first time that we've seen VAR in those circumstances. Yes, crucially, the decision is a right one, but it just punctures the whole atmosphere. Spurs, who were crestfallen, they are then elated. They see out. It was a blur the final 2 minutes. They got there, they got through it, and Spurs are into the semi-finals of a UEFA Champions League, Tom, having not spent a penny in January, having not spent a penny last summer. Them and Ajax in a Champions League semi-final, so refreshing for the sport of football.
Sylvia, VAR got it right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, I do feel for City and City fans and Guardiola. Quite an interesting stat in the week coming out, Chris, that Guardiola hasn't made a semi-final of a Champions League. I think it's the last 6 years. He didn't do it with Bayern Munich. He hasn't done it with City. We know it's a trophy that City won. And once again, Guardiola was unable to deliver under, as you say, extreme circumstances. But what a spectacular game of football. And I don't think I've ever watched a game of football that within 12 minutes we've had four goals either side. But I think if City really have to look at that game, I kind of feel at times they weren't at 100%. I think it was Laporta giving that ball away. The cross came in. Son, what a finisher he's been. How he's risen since Harry Kane's on their team. So I kind of feel City at times weren't at their best, and that could have cost them. But taking nothing away from Spurs, fantastic achievement for the club.
Monty, Spurs, Ajax now, as Chris was alluding to, their fascinating clash in the semi-final. But given the progress that Ajax have had throughout the tournament, given the teams that they've beaten as well, will they be looking at Spurs going, oh, hey, you know, no Harry Kane, possibly no Sissoko, they're at their bare bones, they're there for the taking, or will Spurs be going, oh, thank you, we've got Ajax rather than Liverpool or Barcelona?
I think Ajax will be telling, oh, thank God that I got Spurs, and Spurs will say, thank God I got Ajax. Having said that, Ajax have beaten Real Madrid, they have beaten Juventus, two massive teams there, and they would have no fear going into the semi-finals facing Spurs, because they'll go in there with full confidence, for sure. And it's a team with 57 million is to other teams like Spurs. The whole team comprises of 200 million is to 57 million. So there you go. It's a group of youngsters, 24 years average age of Ajax players. I think they'll go there without fear.
Yeah. I think Mondi's just summed it up perfectly, Tom, when he says no fear. We look at that midfield. What's it, De Jong?
Yeah, Frankie De Jong.
Frankie De Jong, this youngster that's now going to Barcelona. What a talent he really, really is. And, you know, we said it, I think, 2 weeks ago on the show that we feel Ajax is the dark horse of the Champions League. And I think if one or two things go their way, they could actually go on to win this, Tom. Because, as you said, they've got fantastic youngsters that are absolutely fearless, and they're literally throwing everything at it at the moment.
I just want to pick up on the VAR thing, if I may, Chris. And a comment that was made midweek, or certainly when I was looking at it as well. And almost this idea that Premier League teams are a little bit behind the ball game at the moment in terms of trying to understand VAR, because obviously it's not been implemented throughout the Premier League season yet. We've seen it during the cup competitions and during other elements, but again, that's them trying to sort of find them. Is it going to take away from those moments that you highlighted, those moments of elation when a stadium erupts? A lot of people talked about the fans at the Etihad that night, the Man City fans and the Tottenham fans, both brilliant in their own right, and a great atmosphere attested to by both of the managers after the game. But that moment that we've all been used to, which is when a goal goes in, but the eyes go over to the line judge, flag's gone up, ooh, it's the ooh and the ah, straight like that. 78 seconds of ooh and ah is a long time.
It is. It absolutely is, Tom. And there's a lot of detractors still for VAR on social media. You know, there are some respectable journalists who still, and I use the case of Daniel Storey, who is a hugely respected journalist. I'm a huge fan of him, follow him closely in his work. And he put it out there. He said, listen, it doesn't sit well with me that we're sucking the life out of just unbridled joy. And then someone remarked back to him, I think it was our colleague Tom Rennie, who said, wait a minute. Unbridled joy is one thing, getting the result right is another. And that is what I always come back to. It would have been a travesty had Manchester City booked their place in a semi-final of UEFA Champions League over what was a wrong decision. Yes, okay, the 7 to 8 seconds, that needs to be improved. There needs to be a system, and I think this is all work in progress. There needs to be a system where the fans in the stadium, because right now, let's make no bones about it, VAR is for armchair fans. It's for us sitting at home over here in Dubai. We love it. We are in the experience. For those fans that pay their hard-earned cash to be in that stadium, they are the ones losing out, because there is that unknown element. What on earth is going on? I'm celebrating. Things are happening. We at home know what's going on. Fans in the stadium don't. So they need to improve on that. That being said, and I've said this time and time again, the processes need to be improved, the implementation of it needs to be improved. The VAR system, though, is here to stay because there is simply too much money that is involved now, and that decision on Wednesday evening was the right decision. Spurs are there on merit, and it would have been a travesty had VAR not been employed and that decision given. So yes, okay, improvements need to be made, and let's hope they're made quickly, but fundamentally, yeah, Spurs thoroughly deserving of it, and it's the right call.
Does it also beg the question of the role now and going forward of referees, and more specifically lines judges as well? Because if you have that technology, if you have that ability, surely we're going to check everything. We're going to and we saw elements of that on that night and in other games as well, where there is the hint of a handball and players start swarming around. Yeah. Referees say check, you've got to check it. When a goal goes in, the referee's got to, immediately is going up and asking the question. So again, that role is going to be redefined, isn't it?
Well, that's it. Steve Bennett, former Premier League referee. I've been in conversation with him an awful lot. I've been bombarding him with WhatsApp voice notes, similar to what I do with yourself, Tom, over the course of the past few days. Because, the one thing, and this has been, again, an accusation that has been levelled at linesmen and referee, is that they've still got to stand up and be counted. They can't hide behind VAR. They've still got to make decisions on what they see. VAR, the VAR system, is a support mechanism. It isn't the mechanism with which determines every decision on the football field. It is there to ensure if any grave errors have been made, then you've got backup. So referees still need to be given that autonomy. They've still got to be given the kind of responsibility to go out there and referee and officiate football matches as they're doing. What VAR is there for, though, and you will see, it's improving all the time, they're tweaking it. What you will see is on those big decisions, it's a two-way conversation. The referee will give goals, for example, and he'll just talk upstairs and say, guys, just check that one, everything okay? They are getting better at checking things quickly to say, all fine, so nothing is happening. That's a conversation that happens whilst the players are celebrating, coming back to the centre circle and kicking things off again. So there won't be too much detraction, I don't think, from what we've seen. It's just those big decisions where it is clearly wrong, that the system needs to be ironed out, where fans in the stadium can see on a big screen it's under review, similar to what we see in rugby, similar to what we see in cricket. It's under review, keeping you guys up to speed with what's going on, just so that everyone is on the same page.
Let's get the thoughts now of Pep Guardiola. He's a genius. He's a genius in everything he does, and he's a real gentleman as well, a true gentleman of the game. Let's just listen to his comments after the game. And just before you listen to them, just remember what Chris McCarthy was saying there. Moments before this interview, he was hearing up and down the sideline, along with all his staff, along with all his substitutes as well, thinking they had pulled off the greatest comeback, or one of the greatest comebacks, in terms of getting themselves into the semi-final, only to have it taken away. Here's Pep after that game.
Pep, it was an astonishing game, and probably heartbreaking as well for you.
Yeah. Bad end, was alternatives in the first 20 minutes, was 3-2, five goals in 20 minutes. It's not quite normal. We scored our goals, and after the VAR, make the rest.
And what did you think of that VAR decision? I mean, the emotions run from one range right to the other. We saw that in that moment where the decision was being calculated, and we're talking inches here.
Yeah, the inches was the handball. That was inches. It's offside, I think so. I don't know if he comes from Eriksen or from Bernardo. I was cruel. So in this moment when it's not legal goal, okay, but the moment we celebrate in 3 seconds, 1 minute, when it's 1 or 2 minutes left, so we are so close to get the semifinals, and after don't concede, so it's cruel, but it's what it is.
It's what it is. But are you saying the Llorente goal looked like a handball to you?
In one, yeah. Maybe the referee, when we saw the image, for it's not the case, for another angle, for now it's handball.
You're proud of your team, though. I mean, you took the game to him, particularly in the second half.
Yeah, well, the game was good. The first half was, alternative. The second half, we created a lot of chances. For the corner set pieces, they are taller, the incredible takers. And, of course, it's a strong team. We knew that it's outside, so it's quite equal. And, unfortunately, we are not in the next stage.
The quadruple's gone. You said it was an almost impossible dream because of the demands of the season. Did we see that this evening?
Yeah, it's gone.
It's gone. And of course, but the title is still there, and you have to play Spurs again this weekend.
Yeah, we have a lot of still games from the league and games from the FA Cup final, and now it's tough, and tomorrow will be tough too, but after tomorrow we'll be ready to, you know, to fight for the Premier League.
Crestfallen after the game, and who wouldn't be? But time for him to, well, get one back on to their old foe, because players in the tunnel ahead of Man City against Spurs, hashtag two. It is the it's the reawakening, if you like. It's not so much the end game that we're all getting excited about at the end of the week, but it is time for... Is it an opportunity for someone like Pep Guardiola just to say, you know what, you got that one, boys, but let's just show you who's
boss.
Yeah,
I mean, I do expect City to win today. I really do. I just think the euphoria of what Spurs players have been through, and in fairness, I'll get to team news in just a moment. Five changes for Spurs, just the three for Manchester City. But as soon as that game finished the other night, I said City to win on Saturday. I really do. It'll be interesting. There is a hangover. There's obviously disappointment from their defeat. I think it works the other way, though. I think Spurs just so euphoric at reaching a UEFA Champions League semi-final that I think City on their own patch today will win. As I say, three changes. Phil Foden, the young 18-year-old, he's coming in just his second start in the Premier League. He's replaced David Silva. Vincent Kompany has gone out, as has Benjamin Mendy, who I felt was just not quite match fit. He was someone who looked a little nervy for me in midweek. They've been both replaced. John Stones comes in, as does the Ukrainian Oleksandr Zinchenko. So impressed with he, certainly in their semi-final victory over Brighton at Wembley. A fantastic performer, someone who turned down the advances of Wolves and other clubs in the summer to stay at City and fight for his place. So Manchester City is as follows. Ederson in goals, back four, Walker, Stones, Laporte and Zinchenko. Midfield three, Kevin De Bruyne, Ilkay Gundogan and Phil Foden. And then it's that front three: Bernardo Silva, Sergio Aguero and Raheem Sterling, all of which, incidentally, those three have been named in the PFA Player of the Year shortlist. Those three alongside Virgil van Dijk, alongside Sadio Mane and alongside Eden Hazard as well. So that's City's team. As for Spurs, Tom, five changes in total for Mauricio Pochettino. In comes Davinson Sanchez, Juan Foyth, the young Argentine, Ben Davies. In comes as well the Argentine goalkeeper, Paulo Gazzaniga, as well as Eric Dier in that centre of the midfield. So it's Gazzaniga in goals, it's Alderweireld, Sanchez, Vertonghen. It's that four across the midfield. Foyth, who will be in an uncharacteristic right wing back slot. Dele Alli and Eric Dier. Ben Davies will play left wing back. Christian Eriksen in the hole, and he's got the two speedsters ahead of him. Hyungsin Min, who I'm such a huge fan of. He is the man that scored two goals. It's unfortunate that he's not made the shortlist for Player of the Year, because he's been fantastic, as Carl said earlier, in the absence of Harry Kane. And alongside the South Korean is the Brazilian, former PSG man, Lucas Moura. Expect goals in this one again today. I just fancy City to just edge it.
City to edge it for Chris McCarty, CVR.
Yeah, I mean, I like the way Chris says he expects City to win it. To me, they have to win it. If they still want to be alive in the Premier League, they have to win today. They do have a game in hand, but I do fancy City today, Tom, and I think it'll be 2-0 to City at the Etihad.
City coming out strong, and Spurs also look well, putting out a strong. I thought it would be. I thought they'd rest more.
Yeah, I agree with that. I thought there'd be a little bit more change, but then Poch still wants to finish top four as well, right?
Isn't he? Yeah, so he can't rely on making his way through to the Champions League next year by winning it, because he's still got two more games in there. Monty, your thoughts on this one?
I think Manchester City will go out to win this one for sure, because they have to win the league now. The quadruple dreams are over. It's the Premier League now, which is the top objective for Manchester City, and they'll do everything possible today to beat Spurs. Yes.
So both the managers are on the sideline. Players are on the pitch at a sunny Etihad Stadium. One thing that I would draw your attention to, though, is the benches for these two teams. Yeah, they've got strength in depth. They've got strength out on the field. They've got a very strong bench for Man City. Spurs, just the hint of bare bones when it comes to the injury list, which obviously got extended during midweek as well. If it comes down to subs, what sort of impact will they have? Let's watch on with interest. We'll bring you all the updates from this one as and when they take place throughout the afternoon, plus live action from Scotland, from Spain and from Italy as well. This is The Grill, live from Brest.
The Grill has all the sport you need right now on Dubai Eye 103.8.
You are listening to The Grill. We're broadcasting live from the rooftop garden down here. Got an all-star cast on board here. And the gates are open. It's a beautiful evening. It is a beautiful evening. There's a nice breeze coming across as well. So please do get yourself down here. The oohs and the ahs over there is a good sign. 2 minutes in to the feature match, which is live from the Etihad. A very sunny Etihad stadium as well. Man City against Spurs. Chris McCarthy.
Yeah, opening chance of the game. It's a lively start from both teams. And the opening chance of the match, it falls the way of Heung-min Son. The footwork of that man, I saw him over here about 6 years ago now, Tom. He was in Hamburg then. He went on to sign for Bayer Leverkusen, and I sat on the touchlines with Frank Arnesen, former technical director of Chelsea, former technical director of Spurs, and we had a long conversation about Son, and he told me then, this boy is the best player that Hamburg have had in a number of years, and I can understand why. He picks the ball up here, and it's a mistake. I think it's John Stones who tries to play a square ball into Laporte. That's cut out by Son. And then he just runs at the heart of Stones. Stones gets back in. Just a little lollipop, as they call it, made famous by Dale Gordon back in the 1980s, of course, down the wing for Norwich City. Just that does the old lollipop. And if you're listening, Dale, that's just for you. Moves it on to the left foot. It's an acute angle. It's a wonderful effort. Ederson stands big. It's a simple save. But it, nonetheless, it just underlines the power and attacking thrust that Spurs do possess. If they can pick the pocket of City high up the field, then in Son, in Moura, in Ali and in Eriksen, they've got four players there who can make you, will make you pay for any mistakes. But it is still 0-0, 3 minutes on the clock. City, as you'd expect, getting their foot on the ball, trying to make things happen.
At 0-0, the score in the Premier League. What about in the Spanish La Liga? One game, early kickoff there, and Italy. Monty, any goals there?
27 minutes gone. It's Celta Vigo have just scored a goal, and Girona 0. So if this scenario stays like this, Celta Vigo overtake Girona and go up to 14th position out of the relegation zone. And over in Italy, it's 0-0 at halftime.
0-0 at halftime, but goals to report.
Goals, goals and more goals. There's a goal in the Premier League. There's a goal in Scotland as well. I will start in the Premier League. It's 4 minutes on the clock. It's Manchester City 1, Tottenham 0. And it's the teenager Phil Foden. He's been talked about for the best part of 18 months now, is this youngster. Bernardo Silva, who for me, after Raheem Sterling, has been City's best player this season. He picks it up on the right. He comes on to that strong left foot of his. He floats a delicious ball into the back post. Sergio Aguero, he peels off Toby Alderweireld. He nods it across goal. And look at the run of Phil Foden behind Davinson Sanchez. And he just has to the easiest of tasks, just to nod it in, from all of 2 yards. It's a great little finish from Phil Foden, but it's Bernardo Silva. He is the creator, the little mercurial Portuguese. Picks it up onto that left foot, finds Aguero. Aguero finds Foden. It's as easy as 1-2-3. Manchester City 1, Tottenham 0. And up in Scotland as well, 36 minutes on the clock at Tyne Castle. It's now Hearts 0, Rangers 2. Jermaine Defoe had given Rangers the lead early on in this one, a fine finish. It is the young former Aberdeen midfielder Ryan Jack who has doubled their lead. Hearts have threatened at times, but Rangers, just get the impression, pressure off, starting to find a little bit of groove towards the end of this campaign under Steven Gerrard. They're not going to win anything this season, but definitely progress has been made. 37 minutes on the clock. It's Hearts 0, Rangers 2.
Rajasthan Royals taking on the Mumbai Indians. Mumbai Indians second in the log. Rajasthan Royals second from the bottom at the moment. They need wins and they need them quick. Mumbai Indians currently 98-1 with 7.4 overs left. They are going along nicely at present, and we'll keep an eye on that one for you. Delhi Capitals taking on opponents a little later on in proceedings, so we've got that one for you later this evening. But just having a look at this Mumbai Indians innings, Quentin de Kock, the man who's doing the damage, the South African 62 from 43 balls. Shadow Yadav has joined him at the crease, 28 from 28. Rohit, the man to go, caught and bowled off the bowling of Gopal for just 5. So keep an eye on that one for you. Let's get to the rugby. What can you tell me, CBR?
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell you is one live game at the moment in Super Rugby. It's New South Wales Waratahs taking on the Melbourne Rebels, and what a tight affair. A Bernard Foley penalty is separating the two teams. 79 minutes played, Waratahs 23, the Rebels 20. Early on this morning, the Highlanders beat the Blues 24 points to 12. And at 5 o'clock this afternoon, the Stormers take on the Brumbies down in Cape Town.
I saw something in Super Rugby. We've also got a massive weekend for Champions and Challenge Cup rugby as the two big European tournaments reach their semi-final stage.
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. Of course, today's kickoff at Saracens taking on Munster. That will be coming to you live at 6 o'clock this evening. And Saracens' fourth semi-final in 5 years, should I rather say, and can they go on? Of course, tomorrow it's Leinster taking on Toulouse, which will be coming to you live tomorrow afternoon. In the Challenge Cup, as you mentioned, La Rochelle take on Sale Sharks. That kickoff is at 8:30 this evening. And Clermont take on Harlequins. That kickoff is at 11 o'clock.
So Sarries in action a little later on this afternoon. Let's hear from one of their stalwarts, Sarries and England locker, George Cruse, who's been in such good form for club and country of late. He's been talking about the prospects of yet another semi-final for Saracens.
Look, it's a competition that everyone properly loves, and for us it's going to be a big squad mentality rather than just the 23 out there. The lads probably, you know, clearly want it. Sometimes it might look like we want it too much, or so we're in a good place culturally, feels quite tight, and that's exactly what you want coming into the end of the season. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think there's probably a few similarities between us and them. They've definitely got a good kind of culture. They work incredibly hard. They try and play a bit more of a territory-based game. So yeah, there's some similarities. And yeah, it's about kind of trying to unpick them and produce what we can do. The boys done really well when the internationals were away. Kept up some good form. We've lost a few games, some away games, but you know, I think These are sort of games we're going to get properly excited for, and semi-final against Munster is one to get excited for. It was a cracking game. I think we tried to lose it as much as possible in the first half. You know, the buzz and the energy was there, but a lot of mistakes. So off the back of that, I think second half we were, you know, pretty clinical and took away the win, which is what we went there for. But yeah, it was a good day. I remember it quite well. Dropped the ball over the line, so it wasn't that good for me. But I enjoyed it. I think we had a feeling where we probably thought we were going to win, but we just made it quite hard for ourselves that day. The latter stages of competitions like these, they tend to be not high scoring fixtures, probably a bit more knockout mentality. Everyone plays their hand a bit more safe. Like I said before, we had a good, enjoyed the game down there last time, and looking forward to the return fixture as such. It's been a good competition. We've had some lows kind of in the start of some of those 50s, but I've had some of my best memories in rugby in this competition, so I'm very fortunate to, have played that many games.
So those are the thoughts of George Cruse of Saracens. It is Saracens against Munster. And that All-Ireland final is still very much on. Nice to see one of the powerhouses of English rugby, one of the powerhouses of French rugby into the semi-finals. But the two big guns from Irish rugby still very much on course for an All-Ireland affair. And they really have dominated this tournament in recent seasons.
Yeah, Tom, I tell you what, Leinster, what a story that's been, of course, coached by the ex-England coach that exited after the World Cup. And as you say, what a fantastic season they've been having. And Munster's always there and thereabout. And I think this afternoon's clash is going to be absolutely fantastic between those two club sides that are doing so well in the competition. I think don't take anything away from Saracens. If we look at their past history in this competition, of course they've been victors, they've been finalists, and they're a team at the moment not at the top of the Premier League, but still in very, very good form. But as you say, the Irish teams, year on year, they just seem to be producing, and we do have the chance that of course next week there could be two Irish teams in this final.
Let's hear now from the Munster boys. They have landed in the United Kingdom. They've landed in and around the Saracens training ground. They've had an opportunity to see the pitch and the facilities over the last couple of days and acclimatise themselves ahead of this semi-final.
You know, they know what they're doing. You know, they've been on top of their game for the last good few years, you know. So, yeah, I'm not going to spoil it by telling you what we're going to do, but we're looking forward to it, what we can do tomorrow, and concentrate on what we can do and go out there and again, take this opportunity. I think last year we disappointed ourselves, and it's great to get that opportunity again. I think we made massive strides in our game as a team and as players and getting together and working under Johan. We've got a full year now under the belt, you know, so looking forward to what that can bring to the game as well.
It's going to take the best game of our season so far. You know, probably of this group's, you know, time together so far this, you know, over the last few years, you know. Certainly since Johan's come in, you know, I've no doubt this is going to be the biggest one and the toughest one. You know, you wouldn't expect anything less in any semi-final of Europe. You know, it's a great competition, and, you know, to be playing alongside the group that I have, and, you know, against a team like Saracens, you know, it doesn't get any bigger than that. And, you know, these are the games you want to be involved in, but it takes an enormous amount of effort and, you know, willingness to work hard for each other to get a win in this kind of a game. And, look, hopefully we can dig, probably have to dig a bit deeper than usual, but hopefully we can do so. You want to be playing your best rugby, and, you know, obviously the amount of rugby that we've played to now, you know, the amount of training we've done, you know, it all accumulates to this end of the season. You know, you try and win all those games to get to knock out rugby, and when you get here, you know, between strength and conditioning and the coaching staff and the players and the leadership group and everyone, the whole thing is revolved around this next 12 or 24 hours, you know. That's what it all comes down to, and that's what you're striving for, and trying to get to finals and win finals. And, you know, tomorrow is, as I said, the biggest challenge of our year, and we're delighted to be here. You know, it's there's lots of teams this weekend, lots of incredibly talented, you know, excellent teams in Europe who don't have a game this weekend. So, look, we consider ourselves very lucky. We've worked very hard to get here. But, you know, everything has accumulated to this point. And we're delighted to be able to have another 80 minutes to showcase what we can do in this competition.
You know, my mantra of starting every week at zero, we've done exactly that. We reviewed the Treviso game. A lot of guys came back from a week away from rugby and all slotted in straight into the Monday morning session. You know, the leadership ran the whole week in terms of the way that we plan, and training was very good. And, you know, unfortunately, a good week doesn't give a result on Saturday. So we're all focused on tomorrow, confident in our abilities and focused on ourselves. We're going to enjoy tomorrow. Like I said before, we play against a class outfit. But from our side, you know, we want to progress further in this competition, and to that we have to perform tomorrow. And if you look at the two men beside me, Pete's been leading the team fantastically, and times that he hasn't been there, it's been CJ and Billy and Tyler, and it's up to the 23 players on the field now. And, you know, we believe in each other, we believe in the squad, and we believe in the people of Munster, and it's a game of 80 minutes tomorrow.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, though, we'll have more for you. We're live here on The Grill. We're live from Barasti, where the game is always on. We'll put you in the picture of the goals that have been scored so far, and of course, look ahead to some of the other big stories and games of the day.
The Grill, live from Barasti, bringing you the biggest sports stories right now.
Yeah, first up, let's bring you what's happening in the world of sport. Carlos van Rosenfeld is our man on the rugby today. He's keeping an eye on the live rugby and also keeping us updated with games to look forward to. What's live at the moment, Carlos?
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell you is down in Australia, it's just ended. The Waratahs beating the Rebels 23 points to 20. The next live game in Super Rugby will be kicking off at 5 o'clock UAE time, where the Stormers take on the Brumbies down in Cape Town. If you missed earlier on this morning, the Highlanders beat the Blues 24 points to 12. But the big talking point, of course, this afternoon is the European final between Saracens from England and Munster from Ireland. That will be kicking off at 6 o'clock this evening, playing at the Alliance Arena at Saracens' home ground.
Mumbai have just lost their second wicket of their innings. Yadav has gone for 34. Make that third wicket as well, because just as I come on air, Quentin de Kock has also gone for 65. So 113 for 3 the score now. Two wickets falling in quick succession for the Mumbai Indians. Gopal picking up his second, and Binny also. Pandya and Pollard both at the crease at the moment for Mumbai Indians. 113 for 3 with 4.3 overs left. Let's get down to Spain and Italy. Italy. Monty, what's happening there?
In the La Liga, it's half-time between Celta Vigo and Girona. Celta Vigo, the goal scorer, Iago Aspas, the Spaniard. And if it stays like this, Celta Vigo overtake Girona and go into 14th position, fighting for relegation, Celta Vigo. And Girona, too, fighting for relegation. They're on the other half of the table. In Serie A, it's currently 0-0 between Parma and AC Milan. AC Milan, obviously, in fourth position, trying for a Champions League spot next year.
Any suggestions that the Man City Tottenham Hotspur hashtag 2 was going to be a dull affair have been put to bed in the first 20 minutes? Chris McCarty?
Yeah, absolutely not. Not the five goals, or four as there was at this stage on Wednesday evening, Tom. The fifth one was about to be scored in about a minute's time. No suggestion that that was ever going to happen again. That was a bit of an anomaly on Wednesday evening. What I can tell you though, 20 minutes on the clock, it's Manchester City 1, Tottenham 0. Really good game this. City dominating possession, 61% to Tottenham's 30%. 9%. Heung-min Son has had two chances sent scampering clear. The first of those was of his own making. Wonderful little lollipop, shifted onto the left foot. Ederson with the save. Second opportunity sent scampering clear. Christian Eriksen found a wonderful little through ball. Oceans of space to run into. Did Son. Didn't quite get his effort off. Well defended in the end. And Christian Eriksen as well has had a half a chance as well. A magnificent save from Ederson, in fairness to the Brazilian goalkeeper. City lead though, and it was a beautiful goal in its makeup. Bernardo Silva, such a big fan of the diminutive Portuguese. It was he that picked it up wide on the right. He shifted it on his left foot, opened up his body, opened up as well. He lifted his head, saw Sergio Aguero peel off Toby Alderweireld. He dinked it into the back post. He found Aguero. Aguero knocked it across goal, and there was Phil Foden making just his second Premier League start as the 18-year-old English midfielder. Easiest of tasks, just to nod it into the empty net. 21 minutes on the clock. It's City 1, Spurs 0.
That's what's happening over in England. What about Scotland? Let's get the latest from the action north of the border. Rangers in action.
Yeah, they certainly are. It's half-time at Tynecastle. Hearts against Rangers. Rangers in second place, looking to consolidate that. Yes, OK, they're trying to put on some pressure onto Celtic. Celtic, though, home and hose. They will get there, will Celtic. Celtic bidding for an eighth league title, of course. And I can tell you, goals Jermaine Defoe and from Ryan Jack have given Rangers the half-time lead at Tynecastle, and looking forward to the second half. Don't worry about what's on the big screen now. That is a replay of Celtic Rangers from a couple of weeks back. So we don't panic about what's on there. It's half-time at Tynecastle. It's Hearts 0, Rangers 2.
Talking of Ryan Jack, he is the man who picked up the Goal of the Season award just a couple of weeks ago up at Rangers. They've had their end of season do already up there. Who was announced player of the season? Morales.
It was Alfredo Morales. Yes, he's had, what, 5 red cards this season, but he's still done enough whereby he has been awarded that player of the year. An awful lot of clubs looking at him, Tom. I know clubs in England, China, he's been mooted with a move over there as well, has the Colombian come down from Finnish football, and he is a wonderful talent. A little bit of a hothead. Steven Gerrard has been at pains all season long to try and control that, but there's no doubt in my mind whether it comes this summer or next, he will be playing in one of the top 5 leagues, no doubt about it.
Picked up goal of the season, had this to say straight after that.
Yeah, it means a lot. Obviously, the goal on the day, it was a special moment for myself, for my family, for the fans, for my teammates, for the staff. So it goes a long way to know that how much it meant to so many people. So I'm delighted with the award.
What do you remember of the actual goal itself?
Obviously, old farms are hectic. It's 100 mile an hour every game, and just obviously remember Kenty pulling the ball back, and I just kind of thought hit the target, and thankfully it went in, and I'm delighted with the goal.
You mentioned it meant so much to so many people. Like, going forward, people are always going to remember that. What does that mean to you?
Of course, it means a lot that even you've got like Daza and Andy that have said to me that, look, you're going to be remembered for scoring a winner in an Old Firm match for the rest of your life. And obviously, at the minute, you don't really get time to think about that. But I think when my career finishes and I look back, and there's no doubt it'll probably be the most special point in my career.
And a standout moment for you, and what's been a very good season for you personally?
Yeah, it's been a great season. Look, I've really enjoyed my football since the gaffers came in, and he's been excellent with me. And as I say, we're not going to win a trophy this season, but I've got no doubt that going forward, that next season, it's we can really kick on and it can really be our season.
Good season for Rangers. We'll reflect on that in just a few moments' time. But also a season of change in many ways. New faces coming into the club, some of the old faces leaving the club, including, well, not so much leaving the club, but certainly taking time on international careers and other. Alan McGregor, the goalkeeper, has also made a decision the last couple of days about his future.
Alan, it's the first chance we've had to speak to you since you took the decision to retire from Scotland duty. What was the factors behind that?
I've just started a new campaign. All the travelling and all the games. You look back and years to come and be proud, I think.
We've spoken before, there's obviously good goalkeepers coming through here at Rangers, but across the country there's so many guys going to be vying for that position in the coming years.
Mm-hmm. No, there will be, and hopefully there will be and there should be. There's a lot of good young goalies coming through, but it's just getting them filling the squad and hopefully getting a chance to play and show them what they can do.
There's McGregor.
Alan McGregor there, delighted to be playing professional football.
Good news for you though, McCarty. The door's open, isn't it?
I was about to say.
Pick up the gloves for Scotland.
I think that ship has sailed a long time ago, Tom. But a fine goalkeeper. He's had an unbelievable season, in fairness to him, has Alan McGregor. Was at Rangers, went down south, was at Hull City, of course, came back, was convinced to come back by Steven Gerrard. He has been the saviour in games for Rangers this season. His consistency across the whole campaign has been exceptional. A wonderful shot stopper. He's grown as well, he's matured. Alan's had a lot of issues off the field over the years, some of which I can't get into on national radio over here in the UE, that's for sure. But what he's done is, as he's gotten older, he's a father as well, he has matured, and he is one of those kind of cornerstones, a mainstay in that Steven Gerrard side. As for goalkeepers moving forward, Craig Gordon, the Celtic number one, is there. And I think the big one, and I'll need to double check this, Angus Gunn, son of the other gun, his name escapes me, played for Norwich, it'll come to me, but he's the new number one at Southampton, and he joined Southampton from Manchester City. I know Alec McLeish, before he was sacked this week, was chasing him, trying to pin him down to become a Scotland international, and he, no doubt, given his age, will be Scotland number one if he does indeed decide to play for Scotland for the next 10, 15 years.
And in 60 seconds before we head to another break, the Gerrard's effect up at Rangers has been a positive one?
I was going to ask you that.
It has been, massively. Emma Dodds, former colleague of ours, of course, she works for BT Sport over in the UK. She was actually doing that Rangers end of season do. I was on the phone to her the other night and she was waxing lyrical about Steven. Old school, says it how it is, doesn't mince words. Very much kind of what you see is what you get with him, and it's respected hugely in there. He has got the backing of the fans, certainly. And listen, when he was coming into that job, Celtic Football Club so far ahead of their rivals, I always felt stopping 8 in a row was always going to be nigh on impossible. Stopping 9 in a row next season will be difficult. Steven Gerrard, though, is in it to ensure that Celtic don't win 10 in a row. If you're not familiar with your history of Scottish football, Celtic have won it 9 in a row. They did that under the legendary Jock Stein back in the 60s. Then you've got Rangers, who did it in the 90s with Walter Smith, with Brian Loudrop, with Paul Gascoigne part of that. They have got to stop Celtic from doing 10 in a row. That's his mission. Next season, though, Tom, part of that mission will, of course, be to ensure that a little bit of silverware comes into the trophy cabinet as well, whether that be the Scottish Cup or the League Cup. But again, stopping Celtic from winning 10 in a row, mission numero uno.
Smith, Loudrop, Gascoigne. Didn't you miss another name in that one as
Andy
well?
Andy Gorham. Dale Gordon.
Dale Gordon.
Dale Gordon was part of the early.
Dale, I do hope he's listening. There's two mentions, two honourable mentions the first hour of the show already.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.